This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
I harvested 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to a Go Hunt bonus series of the Western Rookie Podcast. This is part 3 of our Utah applications that are coming up really shortly. If you're listening to this podcast, you have maybe a day or two to finalize your Utah applications and get them in, because the deadline is April 24th for all species in Utah. And today we're going to be talking specifically antelope and the once-in-a-lifetime species: bighorn, sheep, moose, goat, bison. So let's dive into antelope. We've already touched on all of the new and noteworthy items in the mule deer episode. We touched on this year's snowpack in the elk episode. Today, we're just going to talk about antelope. We're going to dive straight in. What's going on right now for antelope in Utah? So Utah isn't known for trophy antelope hunting. Not because it's a great opportunity to drive a tag, but the state allows more. The state allows non-residents to. Let me back up. Utah is not touted as a destination for trophy antelope, but it is a great state to apply to, especially if you're already doing your other limited entries. And here's why: the order for limited entry tags in Utah goes mule deer first, then elk, then antelope, then you're limited, or your once in a lifetimes. You can only draw one of those 4 categories in a single year. So if you draw your mule deer, you're already out. If you draw your elk, you're already out. But if you don't, then you can put in for antelope and you still might draw a tag and you still aren't out much, unless, and here's the caveat, you're at max points for a once in a lifetime and you are about ready to draw. You may want to consider skipping the antelope in order to do your once in a lifetime. Because if you draw an antelope, a limited entry antelope, you'll be kicked out of the light once in a lifetime draw. So that's why it should probably be added to your application if you're already doing one. The only thing to consider is whether or not you're at that max point range for once in a lifetime. With the antelope herd over the last few years, though, the trophy quality has slightly decreased based on a lot of people's observations since UW or UDWR, Utah Department of Wildlife and Resources, lowered the age class objective to increase permits. And while there's always going to be some 80-inch bucks every year, the number of those bucks has declined. There's still great bucks, and on any given year, you might be able to find a giant antelope in Utah, but it's not like what you're going to see maybe in Wyoming. So a big buck can always happen. Just don't be expecting Wyoming once-in-a-lifetime type units. And the key is, like anywhere else, patience, persistence. It's going to require a lot of glassing time, looking over a lot of bucks to try to find one that hits that top tier potential, if that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for just a great buck, though, still can be a great place to apply. And it should be a good year for horn growth. Maybe not exceptional, but we're seeing decent moisture across the state. So that, and a slightly average to mild winter. So we should see some healthy antelope populations, which is really good because Utah antelope got absolutely smashed two or three winters ago in that really, really bad winter. So that is very positive. Now, Utah offers a couple different ways to hunt antelope. They have archery, rifle, and in some units, they also have a muzzleloader hunt. The archery and muzzleloader hunts can be challenging, spot and stalk or ambush hunts, but the success rates are still generally pretty high for that type of antelope hunting. The rifle hunt occurs mid-September, while the archery occurs in August and September. So both hunts offer you the chance to hunt some of the rut. Now, while the trophy quality, maybe not where you think it might be for like comparing it to Wyoming, it still offers some fantastic antelope hunting because there's still good numbers of antelope and a lot of public land. Should you draw, it's going to be a fun time. So that's why it's worth applying for. A lot of these units do have potential for 80-inch antelope. They have very high success rates. They really do. And residents can draw a lot of these great units with less than 10 points. Non-residents, it's going to take a while, but it's so cheap to add Utah antelope as a species that you build points for if you're already doing an application that it's a no-brainer to throw it in. And so you might be sitting with a lot of antelope points because you just always built a point when you're applying for your deer, your elk, or your once-in-a-lifetime species. Now, some of these mid-tier residents are drawing really, really good. And the success rates are really quite high, 80% for archery, 96% for rifle. It can be pretty good. Can be a pretty good time. So with that, let's dive on in to the once in a lifetimes now with the breakdown of Utah antelope in the bag. So once in a lifetime species, they have a few of them in Utah. We have the desert bighorn, the Rocky Mountain bighorn, a moose, mountain goat, and bison. For the once-in-a-lifetime species draw, there's a hybrid again. Bonus points, 50% go to the applicant with the most bonus points. The other 50% are randomly allocated. We talked about this in the elk episode. The random draw still takes into consideration the number of points each applicant has, meaning you get more chances in the random draw with each point you have. If you have 8 points, you go into the random with 9 lottery tickets. 8 for your previous points, 1 for the current year. Now, max points for these is 32 points in 2024. However, there are some of these species that no longer have any applicants at that level. Last year, the highest point application for bighorn sheep, 27. Rocky Mountain goat, 26 for non-residents. The residents, they still have some, generally a little bit higher for residents. So the high point holders are starting to cash in some of their tags on these sheep. Now, Utah does some things pretty interesting. For example, residents can only apply for one limited entry tag each year. Non-residents can apply for all three. They can still only draw one, but they can apply for all three. Utah offers residents the opportunity to apply for Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep or Desert Bighorn Sheep. Non-residents can apply for both, which is really crazy. In some aspects, Utah does give some very interesting breaks to the non-residents that I can be honest, and I can feel for the residents, I don't quite understand why they do that. I don't know if it's a way to increase application fees. I don't understand, but I could be very, I could see why residents are pretty frustrated about that. So if you're a non-resident, be mindful of that when you're interacting in Utah, and maybe just be, you know, show some gratitude for the ability to apply for like every species every year when you know the residents can't. So the trophy potential in Utah for the bighorn sheep is generally pretty average. There are a few record book rams available, and those will come from the true Rocky Mountains instead of the deserts. Overall, the populations are stable, the size is generally good, and with the random chance to draw, it's one of those states where if you're already doing an application, it's definitely something you should consider applying for because you're already buying the hunting license to apply for these other species. And one of the kickers is with Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep, Utah manages for 100% success rate for harvesters. So if you are the lucky permit holder, there is a great chance you are coming home with a once in a lifetime animal. And there's still a lot of units that have some great potential. 175 inch. I know they get a little bigger than that in some places, but like we said, Utah's not necessarily known for maybe the highest quality bighorns, but it's still a state where you can draw any year. You're not mathematically out of the running ever. So that's one kicker with the Utah system that makes it a little bit worthwhile. Now, the desert bighorn sheep breakdown, there's 17 units available for the desert. This includes some of the new hunts that residents can apply for on the Mineral Mountains unit in central Utah. Non-residents can apply for 5 of these hunts. So residents get 17, non-residents get 5. The units with the largest population and the best trophy potential are, like always, I don't know how to say this, Utah has some wild units. Kai Parowitz, East and West, 2 units, and the Zion unit, which has struggled over the past years and is not even, it's kind of sad because it's not what it once was in terms of trophy potential or population, and it's actually not, it didn't have a non-resident permit in 2024. So it's interesting to see what will happen in 2025, but it is sad to see what was once a phenomenal unit struggle to kind of maintain that healthy population and hunting opportunities. The Escalante unit had an increase in population and offered a non-resident last year in 2024, so we'll have to see if they offer again this year. A couple other places worth researching are the San Rafael units. Populations are stable and increasing, although the trophy potential might not be quite what some of the others are. Still, it's worth a 16 application fee to have a draw at a once-in-a-lifetime permit. So with that, let's dive into some of these desert bighorns. It looks like if you're a non-resident, you've got the 5 options to pick from. But if you're a resident and you've been applying for 20 to 25 years, you're starting to be in close running to draw on one of those tags. So if you're at that level, then start looking at some research, folks. So moving down the list, let's talk about the Utah Shiras Moose breakdown. Now, the bulk of the moose populations occur in northern Utah. Makes sense, right? Moose generally don't do very well in the desert. I don't know of any, actually, that live in the desert. So, in many cases, units are hampered somewhat by private land and access. That's where more people live in Utah, so there's a lot more private public boundary issues. However, in most cases, a public land DIY hunter is going to have a really good chance at success if you're willing to do some research and you're getting pretty good with GoHunt maps. For example, 2023, the Morgan South Rich unit was added to the list that non-residents could apply for, and that was continued into 2024. So a good opportunity for non-resident DIY, and accessing that unit can be very tough. So if you apply for it and draw with it, might want to use the Outfitters. The best DIY public land option for moose are likely going to be the Catch, the North Slope, and the Wasatch units. Trophy potential across the state is relatively average, especially when compared to Colorado. A 40-inch bull is possible, but there's not a lot of bulls being harvested in excess of that. Populations are kind of leveling out and stable in Utah, but that being said, moose are incredibly hard to draw. A lot of demand for the moose tags. Residents in pretty much all permit areas are taking mid-20s, 24 to 27 points to draw, but you're getting 88 to 100% success rate. Utah manages their once-in-a-lifetimes for very high success rates. So that being said, if you're lucky enough to draw, great chance you're coming home with a once-in-a-lifetime animal. And lastly, up on the list, Utah's Rocky Mountain goats. What's the breakdown looking like? So last year, non-residents had 7 hunts that they were able to apply for. Mountain goats are readily available in the units you can apply for, and harvest success rates are generally pretty high. Hunters should have an opportunity, even in 2025, to look over a good number of goats and pick out a mature billy. In the past, there's been several record book goats taken, but that is no longer the case. Trophy potential is softening a little bit in Utah over the last couple years. Units like the Beaver is the most accessible, and lucky hunters can often drive to areas where they can glass, or the lucky people that draw the permit can typically drive and glass mountain goats and day hunt on foot, which is very unique for goat hunting. Some of the units in the north, however, are some of the most remote, and those are going to require either packing in and backpack style hunting, or using using some livestock to get in there. So keep that in mind. Again, super high success rates. Obviously, mountain goats being one of the hardest of the lifetime, once in a lifetimes, they're a little bit lower, 50, 67, 80. Some of them are 100% success rates, but it's a little bit lower than the moose, the bighorn, some of those other animals. So keep that in mind if you're a Rocky Mountain goat hunter. Personally, I'm not. I'm going to say it. I don't get the goat hunting thing. Love to have someone on the podcast that's done it recently, hear your story. Maybe that'll fire me up. I just don't see hunting mountain goats. Moving on. I was wrong. Not lastly. Now we're on lastly. Bison. This is one where I think it would be super cool to do a bison hunt. I don't want to do like a private ranch, drive up and just shoot it. I want to do a legit on your own DIY bison hunt, boots on the ground. I think that would be really fun. So Utah offers some pretty good bison hunting opportunities if you're a lucky applicant who draw. I remember Randy Newberg drew in the Henry Mountains, and that was a really fun episode to watch of Fresh Tracks Outdoors. The herds are stable, and Utah is one of the few chances in the world to hunt free-ranging wild bison. Non-residents can apply, which is also very unique. So there's permits available to draw for every hunt except Antelope Island. It should be noted, applicants can choose to apply for hunter's choice hunts where they can harvest a bull or a cow only. The cow-only hunts do have better odds of drawing. There are also archery-only hunts for bison on the Henry Mountains and the Book Cliffs, Bitter Creek, and Little Creeks and South units. Sorry, tongue twister. Bitter Creek, Book Cliffs, Henry Mountains, Little Creek. Those hunts have better draw hunts. However, the harvest success is often lower than the rifle hunts. The Henry Mountains archery hunt reported 0% success in 2023. So that's the one Newberg did, and he did it with a bow, which was pretty incredible. So one of the only opportunities in the world to hunt free-range wild bison. And if, like I said, with everything else, if you're already doing the application, it costs $16 to throw your name in this hat as well. That's like the same price as like McDonald's, gas station snacks, you name it these days. It's not that expensive. to add in. So pretty cool opportunity if you were to draw. Looking at 2023, because the data is a little bit behind, residents, it's taken 20, some of them are 15 to 20, but a lot of them 25 to 28 points to draw. Non-resident permits, not a lot of them. So manage your expectations when it comes to applying. Hard to draw, but would be an incredible opportunity if you do draw. And that, my friends, wraps up the three-part series on Utah's all-species applications. If you're doing an app for any of these species, I strongly encourage you to add all of them, because the way Utah works, there's always a chance with their random portion of the draw. It's incredibly cheap to add an additional species once you already have the hunting license for your application. And keep in mind, if you buy your hunting license this year, say on April 23rd, a day before the deadline, next year on April 22nd, you don't have to buy a hunting license to apply because you already have an active 365-day license. It's a little bit of a hack to save a bunch of money in Utah. So keep that in mind when you're doing your Utah applications this year. Thank you for listening, folks. I hope each and every one of you draws a ton.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.